Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma, Mem Vav. We're on the very top of Mem Vav Amid Aleph, starting with a statement by Bar Kapara. Today's daf, relatively short daf in the Masechta. Today represents really the midway point of Yuma. We're finishing up today, Mirtz Hashem, the fourth parak of the Masechta, which means that of the eight prakim, so we finish half the prakim of the Masechta in terms of dapim, not exactly, but whatever. We're hovering around the middle of the Masechta. And with this is going to be concluding the first part of the avoda that's done by the Kohen Gadol on this big day Lavan. We have been following the Kohen Gadol carefully on Yom Kippur, going through all the avodas while wearing the big day Lavan. We so far have done his vidui on his part. The first vidui that he does on his part is going to be for just him and his immediate family. Then he does a selection of the two goats, the two seirim. One is going to be Lashem, the other one's going to be Lazazel. It's going to be done via lottery. That also started off here our fourth parak of Yuma. He's then going to go back into a second vidui on the par. That second vidui that's going to be on the that he's done on the par is for his for all the kohanim. And then he's going to be shechting the par. Upon the conclusion of the shechting of the par, he's going to be then taking coals from the top of the Mizbeach in order to bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because the next step is that he's going to be burning the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to allow him to gain entrance into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Good. So that's basically where we're up to in terms of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So we talked about getting the coals from the top of the Mizbeach in order to bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So a lot of talk about the coals on the top of the Mizbeach. That's been our topic of discussion the last couple of days. So yesterday's Daf Memhei. So we went through extensively exactly how many pyres you expect to find on the top of the Mizbeach. So oddly enough, Machlokas, not just a Machlokas, three-way Machlokas, in terms of how many pyres are going to be on the top of the Mizbeach. Your option is going to be 2, 3, or 4. And then everybody agrees that in Yom Kippur you're going to be adding an additional pyre. The additional pyre in Yom Kippur is because you are going to need a special pyre on Yom Kippur in order to get the coals for the to bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So on Yom Kippur, your options are going to be either 3, 4, or 5. Okay, and we saw yesterday a machlokus amongst Tanaim, a machlokus between Rebbe Yehuda. I'm going to go in order as presented yesterday. Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda says generally 2. Rebbe Yossi says generally 3. And Rebbe Meir says generally 4. Which means that according to Rebbe Meir, on Yom Kippur, you're going to have 5 pyres on the top of the Mizbeach. So how do we get to these numbers? So the answer is go back to yesterday's daf. I'm not going to go over the whole daf again. But yesterday's daf, we went through each of the positions and the various psukim that support each of the positions of Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Meir. As far as Shitas Rebbe Meir is concerned, that's what we're going to be focusing on for a good part of today's short daf. So Rebbe Meir says that there are 5 pyres. How do we get to the number 5? So let's just count them out. So number 1 is Amaracha Gedola, the main pyre. That's where you're going to be burning most of the Karbanos Hayom. A second pyre, the Shniyah, that's going to be for the Ketores. That's the general Ketores, the Ketores that's brought every day. Right, Pras Baboker, Pras Ba'erev, half of the manna is burnt in the morning, half in the afternoon. That's the second pyre. Third pyre, so that's kind of like my comparison yesterday was like a pilot light. In other words, it's for kiyum, it's for just in the event that any of the fires go out, so you have a third pyre on the top of the Mizbeach. Fourth pyre for Rebbe Meir, okay, so what's the fourth pyre for? So the Gemara says, so that's for any of the avarim that were not burned from the previous day. So in other words, you have a varm from the previous day, and for whatever reason, they weren't burnt. So you burn them on this fourth pyre. If they were sitting on the Mizbeach, and remember, the Mizbeach protects any of the karbanos to become disqualified, there simply will be a sanctuary, if you will, on the top of the Mizbeach, so that they won't be puzzled through the psul of Lina. So you have any of these limbs that are left over, so they're burnt on the fourth pyre. So those are the 4 pyres according to Rebbe Meir. And then again, on Yom Kippur, you're going to be adding a fifth pyre. The fifth pyre is going to be where we're going to be burning I'm sorry, the fifth pyre, which is burning, is going to be where we're going to get the coals in order to burn in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. Good? So that sheet is Rav Meir. Again, there are two other sheetas, but we just went over that because it happens to be that the Gemara now is segueing into this discussion. Mem Vav Amud Aleph, two lines down. Amar Rabbi Lazar Mishum Bar Kapar Omer Haya Rabbi Meir. So Rav Meir would say the following: Evari Ola Shinitosu Osela Maracha Bifni Atma V'Sodran. If I have any, if the Evarim of the carbon Ola that's left over, so what happens is that I make Maracha Bifni Atma. I make its own separate Maracha, and you put these limbs on the Maracha. Now this is a statement of Bar Kapara within the sheet of Rav Meir. Now hold one moment, because there is actually a part two to the statement of Bar Kapara. Ve'afilu b'Shabbos, and you do this even on Shabbos. Okay. So there are two parts to the statement of Bar Kapara within the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Number one is that we have an additional pyre which we're burning the Evarim that were not burned from the previous day. Number two is that you're going to be doing this even on Shabbos. Now, as far as part one of Bar Kapara's statement, so it seems to be exactly what we learned yesterday, and Bar Kapara seems to be adding nothing new to the discussion, and that's exactly what the Gemara is now about to ask on part one. So, my Kamashbal and Tanina B'chol Yama Yusham Arba Marachos. So isn't that exactly what Rav Meir said yesterday? And Bar Kapar seems to be adding a point, but he's not adding a single point, meaning on the part one of his statement. So Amar Rabbi Avin lo nitzrucha ela lipsulim. So Rabbi Avin says that, yeah, as far as Bar Kapar is concerned, so he's talking about those limbs that have been disqualified. When we say disqualified, what do we mean by that? Rashi over here writes, Hanach dim alu lo yardu. So there is a perek in Zvachim that discusses im alu lo yardu. Look, there are disqualifications of a karban that necessitate them to be disposed of. And we're not going to go through the list of various disqualifications that occur to a karban, but suffice to say that there is a pretty extensive list of those things that disqualify a karban, which means that we can't put it up onto the Mizbeach. However, despite that, there's an idea, there's a concept that's discussed. I forget which perek it was in Zvachim, but there's a concept of im alu lo yardu, that despite the fact that there are extensive disqualifications, there are basically two categories. One category, we'll call it disqualification minor. Okay, my terminology, you know, of course you don't have to love it. But disqualification minor. Disqualification minor is that you shouldn't bring it up onto the Mizbeach, but if you did post facto, so it can remain on top of the Mizbeach, and that's im alu, if it goes up onto the Mizbeach, lo yardu, you don't bring it down. And then disqualification number two, the second category, is disqualification major, which is im alu yardu. If I put up onto the Mizbeach post facto, it has no acceptance on the top of the Mizbeach, and it has to be brought down. So on this, now we're saying is that Bar Kapara's addition to Rav Meir's statement is that not only is this pyre going to be used to burn any of the Avarim left over from yesterday, but even if it finds itself to be that these limbs happen to be pasul, those are also going to be burned on the fourth pyre. That's the contribution that Bar Kapara is making to the statement of Rav Meir. V'dafka shemashlo mem ha'or, avalo mashlo mem ha'or, lo. The Gemara says, however, that's only true if they already caught fire, meaning that they already were beginning to been burnt on the top of the Mizbeach. However, if it did not catch fire at all, so then we're not going to do it. Rashi's language over here, if it's beginning to be burnt, so therefore what? What does that mean? So the Mahi Shaita, Rashi writes, Nasulach Mashal Shal Mizbeach. It becomes basically I'm translating literally, the bread of the Mizbeach, meaning basically now it's considered as part of the meal of the Mizbeach, and so it gets to stay up there. Igad Amri now in a slightly different version of this discussion. Meaning basically what we're trying to figure is what is Bar Kapara's contribution to what we learned yesterday within Rav Meir. It seems to be a repeat. So the Gemara Ikad Amri in the second version, Echek Shem Vechek Psulim. So Imashal Mema or In Vilolo. So it doesn't matter whether the limb happens to be a kasher or happens to be a pasul. And again, when we say pasul over here, we mean pasul minor. Meaning that if it goes up onto the Mizbeach, it can stay on the top of the Mizbeach. So whether it's kosher, whether it's pasul, so its allowance to be burnt on the top of the Mizbeach is only if the burning has started before the next day. But if it hasn't been started before the next day, so then you don't burn it on the top of the Mizbeach. Okay, so that was all clarification of what was Bar Kapara's contribution to Rav Meir. Yesterday's daf, we learned that according to Rav Meir, there's a fourth pyre. We learned yesterday that within this fourth pyre, you're going to be burning limbs that were not burned yesterday. And now Bar Kapara says, and there's a fourth pyre for a mayor. Our question was very simple. That's exactly what we saw yesterday's daf. So the contribution was, is that even if it's a puzzle, even if it's a disqualified carbon, but we say disqualified, we mean im alu lo yardu, where it found its way up onto the top of the mizbech. It shouldn't have been brought there, but it made its way up there, and the halacha allows it to remain up there. So where am I going to be burning it? On this fourth pyre. Good. That's all part one. Part two of Bar Kapara. So that is a contribution, meaning that's certainly something that we didn't learn yesterday, and the Gemara now is going to be focusing on part two. And that is Va'afila B'Shabbos. Now, part two of Bar Kapara's statement is that this fourth pyre that's going to be set up is going to be set up even on Shabbos. Now here, let's consider. That's a statement, meaning we are now saying that this fourth pyre, which is there for the burning of the previous day's karbanos, so it's going to be set up every day on the Mizbeach, even on Shabbos. Here's what we're saying, right? It's a chiddush. We're saying now that let's say for whatever reason all Friday's karbanos were offered, and there are some limbs of Friday's karban that simply weren't burned on the Mizbeach, for whatever reason. On Shabbos, you can now, let's assume that the pyre was already set up, although I happen to know that there's an extensive discussion of whether you could set up the pyre itself on Shabbos itself. But I'm going to stay with Rashi today, and we're just going to be talking about using the fourth pyre. So as far as using the fourth pyre, can I now burn limbs of yesterday's karban if we're discussing on Shabbos itself? So the Gemara says, now that's a chiddush. Because as we know, to bring Shabbos's karbanos on Shabbos, so that, of course, we're allowed to do, right? The Torah says that you bring the karban tamid daily. Daily, of course, includes Shabbos. So on Shabbos, you shecht and your zorek, and you do all the avodas with the karbanos of Shabbos on Shabbos. But here, the chiddush is that we're talking about Friday's karban. Friday's karban, where the limbs were, for whatever reason, not burnt. So, and now they carry over into Shabbos. Are you allowed to burn them on the Mizbeach? So a mayor who says that you are allowed to set up this fourth pyre every single day, so presumably now for a mayor, you're allowed to burn it. And Bar Kapara is telling us that's not just an assumption, it's correct. That you're allowed to take yesterday's karbanos and burn them, even though we're talking about Friday's karbanos being burnt on Shabbos itself. Now that's a chiddush, and the Gemara now is going to be spending the remainder of the Amud Aleph of discussing this chiddush. V'afilu b'Shabbos. So that is Bar Kapara's contribution. That was the second statement to Bar Kapara. So Tanina Vayom Chamesh. So the Gemara says, okay, it is a bit of a chiddush, that's true, but we knew it already. Meaning, and how do we know this? So because we're going to go back to what we learned yesterday. Yesterday we learned that according to Bar Kapara, so you are setting up how many on Yom Kippur? Five. Meaning the four standard plus the fifth. Now, if you have five on Yom Kippur, so by definition, of the five, number four is going to be the fourth pyre that we're using to burn yesterday's karbanos. Now, obviously, we're talking about on Yom Kippur. So consider now, that means that you're allowed to take whatever karbanos from yesterday. Yesterday was what? Erev Yom Kippur, otherwise known as a weekday. You're allowed to take yesterday's karbanos and burn them on the Mizbech on Yom Kippur. So this idea now, that Bar Kapara is making a contribution to what we know, what we learned in Reb Meir, the Gemara is a little bit bothered. The Gemara says it's not a contribution. It's basically what we learned yesterday. Meaning if you go over the statement to Reb Meir and you just think about it for a moment, it's exactly what we said yesterday. On Yom Kippur, you set up five pyres. Well, of course, because the fourth of the five pyres is used to burn yesterday's karbanos, and Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. So basically, Gemara is like a little bit bothered. Bar Kapara is not making a contribution. So I'm Rav Acha by Yaakov Yitzchak Saka Dat Chamina Hani Mila Echad Dechal Yom Kippur Liyav Sachar Shabbos Dechave Shabbos Kriven Be Yom Kippur Malbava Emsa Shabbos Lo. So Kamash Malan. So Rav Acha by Yaakov says, well, if all I had was yesterday's daf, here's what I could have said. I could have made the argument, and the Gemara is going to note it's not a strong argument, but I could have made an argument that yeah, on Yom Kippur you do set up five pyres, but I'll tell you when. That's only when Yom Kippur follows immediately after Shabbos. Yom Kippur falls on a Sunday. So now, when it's Shabbos Yom Kippur, back to back, right, to contiguous one right next to the other, so then I could take Shabbos's karbanos and burn them on Yom Kippur. Now, right, because the general halacha is that you can't take the karbanos of a weekday and burn them on Shabbos, but I could take the karbanos of Shabbos and burn them on Shabbos, and Shabbos and Yom Kippur are essentially the same thing. So the and Rashi uses that language. Rashi says that Yom Kippurim Kishabbos, Yom Kippur Shabbos are effectively halachically the same thing. So the so maybe that's what Rav Meir meant in yesterday's daf. But if Yom Kippur follows immediately after a weekday, so then no. So then you wouldn't be setting up a fourth pyre. Now, that's saying a lot, and obviously a simple reading of Rav Meir from yesterday's daf doesn't really lead us to that conclusion. And the Gemara basically says, Amar Abaye, man hai delochayish lekimche. Who's this person who's not worried about how he grinds his wheat? It's an expression. It basically means, like, you're not really giving this enough consideration. Right? You're like mindlessly grinding your wheat. Like, you're not really thinking it through. That's not what we said yesterday. We said yesterday that according to the Shita of Rav Meir, you set up five pyres on Yom Kippur. And the simplest reading and the correct reading is that would be every single, when Yom Kippur comes out any day of the week, whether it comes out on Shabbos or Sunday or whatever, regardless. Habachol Yom Tanan. In fact, so you'll read Rav Meir's statement from yesterday, and Rav Meir says, Bichol Yom, he says every day. So this is really an unusual reading to suggest that Rav Meir only meant that you're setting up five pyres on Yom Kippur only when Yom Kippur falls out after Shabbos. So Kasha, the Gemara acknowledges, the Gemara admits that that's true, and so the Gemara is still a little bit bothered when all said and done, meaning that Bar Kappara is coming out with this big chiddush that on Shabbos you set up the fourth pyre, even though it means that you're burning a weekday carbon, Friday's carbon, on Shabbos. So and the Gemara says, and that's a chiddush of Bar Kappara within the sheet of Rav Meir. But when all said and done, if you go back to yesterday's daf and you reread what Rav Meir taught us, it's really what Rav Meir said. Okay, just one quick comment. So the Gemara now has just entertained for a moment that Yom Kippur is coming out on a Sunday. So we all know, everyone's familiar, that won't happen. And it hasn't happened in the last 1,700 years, right? The calendar was fixed sometime in the 3rd century, approximately. Sorry. And with the fixing of the calendar, so that means to say that no longer do we spend any time considering when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. We know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. And it's been that way now for the last 1,700 years. And so that also means to say that when the fixing of the calendar, it was a work of art in terms of just crunching numbers. And one of the things that was done when the calendar was fixed is not only is the solar year and the lunar year now going to be basically in alignment following this following the fixed calendar. It's a 19-year cycle. 7 of the 19 years are going to be leap years. Okay, not to go too much into it, but one of the things that was done is that it was made sure that Yom Kippur does not fall out on a Sunday. Yom Kippur does not fall out on a Friday. It's predicated on the rule of Lo Adu Rosh, that Rosh Hashanah cannot come out on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or on a Friday. Okay, so for the last 1,700 years, Rosh Hashanah has not come out on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. That's Lo Adu Rosh, Adu Aleph Dalet Vav. And so that means to say that Yom Kippur, based on that, Yom Kippur cannot come out neither on a Friday nor on a Sunday. Okay, and why they did that, I'll discuss, or I'll try to explain another time. Probably when we go through Gemara Rosh Hashanah, so I'll explain it in somewhat more detail. But anyway, so you see a Gemara like here entertains quite comfortably the idea that Yom Kippur can come out on a Sunday. And sure, meaning there was a point in time, a period of time, where Rosh Chodesh was established by witnesses and Beis Din, and it wasn't on a fixed schedule. So yeah, so there was a point in time where Yom Kippur fell out on a Sunday. That wasn't a big deal. But just to be mindful of the fact that with our fixed calendar that we've been using now for a long time, so it's not going to happen. Okay, just a short aside. Okay, anyway, so upligi deravuna. So we're on Memvav Amud Aleph. We're a little bit more than halfway down in the short daf, and the Gemara now notes that these amarim, these meaning Rashi lines them up. Bar Kappara, Rava, these amarim are all going to be in disagreement with Rav Huna. Now, Bar Kappara and Rav are both of the opinion that according to Rav Meir, there are four pyres that are set up typically, five on Yom Kippur, and the fourth pyre is going to be used for any limbs that were not burned from the previous day. They're going to be burned on the fourth pyre. And now, according to Bar Kappara and according to Rav, what comes out is that we're talking about even on Shabbos. So that means on Shabbos, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to burn Friday's Karbanos, whatever limbs that were not burnt from Friday, so you could take those limbs and you can burn them on Shabbos. Good. The shita of Bar Kappara, the shita of Rava, and now the Gemara says, yeah, good. And it happens to be that there's another shita, and that's the shita of Rav Huna. And the Gemara introduces us, the Upligi de Rav Huna, the Amrit Chilasa Doche, Sofo in a Doche. Rav Huna's of the position that, yeah, you're allowed to shecht a karban on Shabbos, but that of course is Shabbos's karbanos. But Sofo Eino Doche, I'm going to present the Gemara today like Rashi, and that means to say that Sofo Eino Doche. You cannot burn yesterday's karbanos on Shabbos. Friday's karbanos cannot be burned on Shabbos, that's considered Sofo. Sofo, Rashi writes over here, Sofo Eino Doche, so Tamid Shalar Shabbos, Ein Evarav Niktar Mishetach Shach, Ela Malan Miba'od Yom. Yeah, in other words, what do you do with Friday's karbanos? It's really simple. You take Friday's karbanos and you burn them on Friday. Meaning, make sure not to have them left over for Shabbos, because according to Rav Huna, you're not allowed to burn them on Shabbos. Yes, there's an allowance to offer the karban tamid on Shabbos, but that's Shabbos' karban tamid. But Friday's karban tamid, you don't burn those limbs on Shabbos. And Gufa, the Gemara says, okay, now let's spend a little bit of time with Rav Huna. So Rav Huna is in disagreement with Bar Kappara, in disagreement with Rava. And the Gemara now wants to spend a little bit of time with the Shita Rav Huna. Gufa Amar Rav Huna Tamit Chilas Adocha Sofa Eino Docha Mai Eino Docha. So we said that the offering of the carbon can be done on Shabbos, but not the burning of the limbs, meaning of yesterday's carbon, that can't be done on Shabbos. Now, within the Shita Rav Huna, the Gemara is going to seek clarification. So Rav Chista Amar Docha Sa Shabbos Veino Docha Es Hatuma. So Rav Chista is of the position that it's going to override the Shabbos, but it's not going to override Tuma. I'll explain this better in just a moment. Rabba Amar Dochas HaTumah Veino Dochas HaShabbos. And Rabba's of the position that it overrides Tumah, and it does not override the Shabbos. Meaning that this statement of Rav Huna, where it doesn't override. So what doesn't override? So now the Amoraim are arguing within the Shita of Rav Huna. So Machlok is between Rav Chista. Now in our Gemara we have Rava, but we're going to go with the Girsa on the side. We're going to go with Rabba. Now it does make a lot of sense, because we just learned in today's daf that Rava with an Aleph, so he's in agreement with Bar Kappara. So that means to say that if you asked Rava, are you allowed to burn yesterday's karbanos on today? And yesterday was Friday and today's Shabbos, so Rava would say yes. So it would seem that the correct girsa over here is Rava. Okay. Anyway, so within the Shita of Rav Huna, that you're not allowed to burn yesterday's karbanos today on Shabbos. So what are you not allowed to do? So within that, you have two opinions, that of Rav Chista and that of Rava. Rav Chista says what you're not allowed to do is that it doesn't override Tumah, and Rabba's of the position that it doesn't override Shabbos. The Gemara clarifies both of these positions. Now, Amalei Abaye le Rabba l'didcha kasha ula Rav Chista kasha. So Abaye says to Rabba, look, difficult for you, difficult for Rav Chista, meaning how could you make a split decision between Shabbos and Tumah? L'didcha kasha maishna Tumah dechsi b'moado v'afilu b'tumah Shabbos nami b'moado v'afilu b'shabbos. So ula Rav Chista kasha maishna Shabbos dechsi b'moado v'afilu b'shabbos Tumah nami b'moado v'afilu b'tumah. Okay, so the question is really simple, meaning that we know that Shabbos overrides, Shabbos is overridden by let me start that sentence again. The carbon tamid overrides Shabbos, and the carbon tamid overrides Tumah. Meaning the Torah says that you bring it bim mo'ado. Now when it happens to be the carbon tamid, mo'ad is every single day. And that means that every day you bring the carbon tamid. And I Shabbos, it's okay, you bring the carbon tamid. Yeah, doesn't that involve chilul Shabbos? Yeah, sure. But the Torah says bim mo'ado, you bring it every day. And it also overrides Tumah as well, right? A topic that we discussed already extensively. But we discussed in the beginning of our Masechta that if, let's say, for whatever reason, the Kohanim are not in a state of Tahara, the Kohanim are Tameh, do they bring the Karbanos? Yes, the answer is yes. They'll bring the Karbanos in a state of Tumah. So we know that the Karban Tamid overrides Shabbos and the Karban Tamid overrides Tumah. And it happens to be that this halacha is being generated from the words Mo'ado. How can you make a split decision? Well, it overrides Shabbos, but not Tumah. Or it overrides Tumah, but not Shabbos. How in the world could you make a split decision like that? So that's a biased question to Rabba. So Amar Leilo Lididi Kasha V'lo Rav Chista Kasha. So Rabba says in his defense, no, you know what? It's not difficult. Meaning I'll explain my position, I'll explain Rav Chista's position. They're both easy to understand. Lididi Lo Kasha Sofa Kitzchi Lasa. And he says, so I'll start off with my position. Now, let's remember. Let's remind each other. What is Rabbah's position? It's doches atoma ve'eno doches haShabbos. That if I have yesterday's karbanos, and yesterday meaning Friday, today being Shabbos. If I have yesterday's karbanos, so it's not going to be overriding the Shabbos. Meaning, Rabbah's of the position, that what do you do with Friday's karbanos? You have to burn them on Friday. But don't leave them over till Shabbos, because you can't burn them on Shabbos. However, if it's a question of toma, meaning that, let's say we offer the carbon tamid in a state of tumah, the kohanim weren't tahor, they were tumah. And the carbon tamid was offered in a state of tumah. So then what you're going to do is that you're going to not only shech the carbon, and not only going to do the zrikas adam, but you're also going to burn in a state of tumah. That's Rabbah's position. And the Gemara says, look, it's very easy to understand. So lo kasha, sofo kitchilasa, as we turn to the Amud Beis. And tumah ditchilasa, so bar mitchei, so tumah, sofa kitchilaso. Tuma de tchilaso bar mitzche tuma hu sofa namidache. Shabbos de tchilaso la bar mitzche. So Shabbos hu sofa nami lo dache. So in explanation of Rabbah, so the Gemara says like this. Look, let's take this step by step. Let's start off with tuma. Kohanim or tame? Can they offer the carbon tamid? The answer is yes. Good. In other words, you bring the carbon tamid even in a state of tuma. Right, recall, we had a major debate earlier in the Masechta, whether it's Hutra or whether it's Tichuya. If it happens to be that the local group of Kohanim are, are Tamid, do we have to find other Kohanim that are Tahor? Okay, so a discussion that we had earlier. And it's predicated on whether Tumah is Hutra or Tichuya. And in just a moment, we're gonna come back to that. Okay, so it's not a terrible idea to drop that idea here right now. Anyway, but right now, to say it simply, you offer the carbon instead of tumah. So once there's an allowance to offer the carbon instead of tumah, so you burn the limbs of the carbon that was offered in a state of tumah. Good. So that's why by tumah, so the not only is the carbon going to be shechted and the blood is going to be sprinkled, but you're burning the limbs of a carbon in a state of tumah. But Shabbos, however, consider. Friday's carbon tamid, can you offer that on Shabbos? And I'm talking about the shechting of it. Can you do that on Shabbos? Can you sprinkle the blood of that carbon on Shabbos? And the answer is unequivocally no. Of course you can't. Meaning if, let's say Friday's carbon tamid was not brought on Friday. So can you bring it on Shabbos? The answer of course is no. Furthermore, if let's say you shechted the carbon tamid on Friday, Friday's carbon tamid you shechted on Friday, and the blood, for whatever reason, wasn't sprinkled on Friday, and there's a blood in the bowl, and you have shkias achama, the sun sets. Are you now allowed to sprinkle the blood? The answer is again unequivocally no, because we know that when it comes to dam becomes pasul after shkias achama. So there is nothing about Friday's carbon in terms of shechting, in terms of zrika, that's allowed to be done on Shabbos itself. Once the day comes to a conclusion, you cannot offer Friday's carbon tamid. You can't even do Zrika Saddam of Friday's carbon tamid. So now, if the tchila of Friday's carbon is not to be done on Shabbos, it's really reasonable to suggest that the sofo, the burning of the limbs, also cannot be done on Shabbos as well. It's a really strong argument. And Rabbah says, yeah, that's my position. Tumah where the tchila is allowed, so sofo is allowed. Shabbos where the tchila is not allowed, so sofo is not allowed as well. Good. That is an explanation of Rabbah. Sofa lo dachi. Le Rav Chisa lo kasha, and Rabbah says, good. Now, not only can I explain my position, but even better, I can explain Rav Chisa's position. Now, it happens to be that Rabbah and Rav Chisa disagree. But fine, they disagree. But Rabbah says, but I can explain his position as well. Now, Rav Chisa goes in the opposite. Rav Chisa says that Friday's karbanos can be offered on Shabbos, meaning that the sofo is allowed vis-a-vis Shabbos, but sofo is not allowed vis-a-vis tumah. That's Rav Chisa's position, and here we get to hear Rabbah explaining Rav Chisa's position. So the lo dachi le Rav Chisa lo kasha sofo kitchiloso leisle. And now, as far as my argument of sofo kitchiloso, so Rav Chisa just doesn't subscribe to that argument. Meaning, good. I respect his viewpoint, meaning I have my viewpoint. He disagrees with my argument of sofa kitchila. So good. That's number one. And now Shabbos de hutra hi betzibor sofa namidache toma de dechui hi betzibor tchila so de ikur kapara dachi sofa Dalav ikka kapar lo dachi. And now, in explanation of Rav Chisda, the Gemara says like this. So by Tumah, we had the following. Whether or not Tumah is Hutra or Dechuya. Remember, this is really towards the beginning of the Masechta of Yuma. So the question becomes the following. I have the Kohanim, they're Tame. So, and the Torah allows the Karbanos that are, that have to be brought on a certain day. And by the Karban Tame, that's every day. So they're going to be offered by these Kohanim, even though they're in a state of Tumah. And if you remember, we had the very, very fundamental question. The Torah gives an allowance. Is the allowance that the Torah gives, is it Dechuya? The Torah gives the allowance, but begrudgingly? Or is it Hutra? Or is the Torah basically saying you have carte blanche? You can offer the Karban in a state of Tumah with no consideration whatsoever. You don't have to hesitate. Now, what's the difference between hesitating or not hesitating? And the answer was very simple. We saw this in the beginning of the Masechta. It really is predicated on, if we have to hesitate, if the Torah is giving the allowance, but only begrudgingly, if it's Dechuya, so we have to find other Kohanim if that's possible. Right? In other words, right now, can the Kohanim offer in a state of Tumah? Yeah, but if there's another avenue that we can go, where we don't have to go down this avenue of Tumah, so let's go down the other avenue. That's Dechuya. On the other hand, if it's Hutra, so the Torah is giving you a 100% allowance to offer the Karban in the state of Tumah, and you don't have to hesitate, and you don't have to think about it, and you don't have to go chasing down other Kohanim. Good. So what the Gemara is saying now is the following, in explanation of Rav Chisda. When it comes to Tumah, so what is Rav Chisda's viewpoint? Tumah is Dechuya, which means that the Torah does give an allowance, but it's a begrudging allowance. It means that the Torah is like saying that yes, it's okay, but you have to hesitate, you have to pause. It's not a perfectly. The Torah is not giving you carte blanche. Now, what does that mean here practically? So, what it means is that the shechting of the carbon in the state of Tumah is fine, and the zrikas adam is going to be fine because that's ikar avoda. That's where you achieve kapara. But when it comes to the burning of the limbs, so that's not ma'akev kapara. That doesn't achieve kapara. Yes, of course, it's a mitzvah, but it's not providing kapara. And considering that the Kohanim are in a state of Tumah, and now the Karban itself is in a state of Tumah, so now for the burning of the limbs, basically, Rav Chisda will tell you, Eino docha. Nope, doesn't override Tumah. However, when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is hutra. Shabbos, the allowance to override the Shabbos is a 100% bona fide allowance. Meaning that you don't have to think twice. Karban Tumah is offered on Shabbos, 100%. And even yesterday's Karban, the Friday's Karban Tumah, where the limbs are now carried over into the next day, can you burn them on Shabbos? 100%. Shabbos is Hutra. What the Gemara is saying over here is something unbelievably interesting, in that the rules of Shabbos and Tumah, whether they're Hutra or they're Dechuya, according to Rav Chisda, they're not correlated, not necessarily correlated. You can maintain the position that by Tumah, Tumah is Dechuya, and meanwhile, by Shabbos, Shabbos is Hutra. Now, if you go back to just what we learned a little bit earlier this morning, just think about it a little bit. It's really hard to understand how they're not correlated. Meaning, the Gemara earlier pointed out, where's the source of the heter for that the Karban Tumah override Shabbos? It's based on Moado. What about the heter that Tumah, that we override Tumah for the Karban Tumah? That's also generated by Moado. And meanwhile, according to Rav Chisda, when it comes to Tumah, we're going to say that Tumah is Dechuya. And when it comes to Shabbos is Hutra, that's really interesting that you don't necessarily have to subscribe to the same line of thinking in terms of the Chakira of whether it's Hutra or Dechuya according to Rav Chisda. Okay. Itmar, finishing up today's daf. Right, we're on Memvav Amud Beis. And just one more discussion for today. So, Amechabe Eish Machta Umenorah. So let's say the following. We know that extinguishing any coals that's on the Mizbech is an Isser of the Torah. Right? The Torah says unequivocally, lo sichbed, that you're not allowed to extinguish any of the coals on the Mizbech. Right? If they go on themselves, which... excuse me. If they go on by themselves, that's fine, but you're not allowed to do any act of extinguishing. In the Gemara in Zvachim, I know this takes us back a long time, but in the Gemara in Zvachim, so the Gemara over there entertained the following question, that we know that there are certain times when you're going to be sprinkling wine on the top of the Mizbeach. And isn't the sprinkling of the wine going to be considered isn't that going to be an act of extinguishing? And the Gemara over there got into the discussion if it's a Davashena Miskavein, that's not your intention. Anyway, for now, it's suffice to say that you're not allowed to extinguish coals on the top of the Mizbech. It's an ifs in the Torah. So, HaMechabe Eish Umachta Umenorah. So let's say you extinguish the coals, but after you remove them off the Mizbech. Why are you removing coals off the Mizbech? Good. That's yesterday's daf. That was the daf of 2 days ago, meaning we know that coals are going to be taken off the Mizbech as fuel for the Mizbech HaPnimi, for the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yom Kippur, for the lighting of the menorah. So good. So coals were now taken off the Mizbeach. So once the coals were taken off the Mizbeach, and then they're extinguished, did you violate the Torah? So Abaye Mar Chayev, Rava Mar Pater. So it's a machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Abaye says it's your Chayev, Rava says it's your Pater. So Dikviya Barosh Hashem Mizbeach, Dikuli Amalo Pligi De Chayev, Ki Pligi De Achte A'ara V'Kavya. So if they were on the top of the Mizbech and you extinguish them on the top of the Mizbech, there's nothing to debate. Everyone's in agreement that you're going to be chayiv. It happens to be the debate over here is that once the coals are removed from the top of the Mizbech, Abaye Amar chayiv Eish HaMizbechu. So Abaye says that you're chayiv because why? Because it's Eish HaMizbech. Yeah, you removed it off the Mizbech. It still has the status of being Eish HaMizbech. It is fire belonging to the Mizbech, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. Rava Amar Pater. Rava on the other hand says that you're going to be Pater. Came into Natka Natka. And Rava says, look, you removed it from the Mizbeach. All right, for good reasons, meaning in order to facilitate a mitzvah, but you removed it off the Mizbeach, and therefore you are going to be, it no longer has the status of Eish Mizbeach, and extinguish it would not be a violation of the Torah. So Ella Hadam Rav Nachman Amar Rava Baravu Amorid Gachels Me'al Gabe Mizbech V'Kiba Chayev Keman Ke'Abaye. So the Gemara says, okay, that's going to be difficult based on the following. Rav Nachman, in the name of Rava Baravu, says that if I take coals off the top of the Mizbeach and I extinguish those coals, you're going to be Chayev. Now that statement of Rav Nachman, so that statement is now following the sheet of Abaye. And the Gemara is like a little bit uncomfortable with that, meaning we know the halacha is not like Abaye. Six occasions throughout Shas that the halacha falls like Abaye. That's the famous Yal Kagam, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, has a couple of them. There are six in total. Anyway, the third parak over there in Sanhedrin, right? The Gemara rattles off two of them. But anyway, so there are six times that we fall like Abaye, which means that the bulk of the machloksim between Abaye and Rava, the halacha falls like Rava. So over here now, the statement of Rav Nachman is only in accordance with Abaye, and that's a little bit uncomfortable. So the Gemara says, no, afilo tema karava. Hasam lo intik lemitzvasa, hacha intak lemitzvasa. So the Gemara says, look, Rava and Rav Nachman are not at odds with one another. Here's what Rav Nachman is saying, here's what Rava is saying. Rav Nachman is saying that if I take coals off the Mizbeach, not to do a mitzvah, just simply, for whatever reason, the Kohen decided he's taking a coal off the Mizbeach. And then that coal off the Mizbeach, he extinguishes it. That's Eish HaMizbeach. And even Rava would agree. That's Eish HaMizbeach. And therefore, you'd be in violation of the Torah Zisr of Lo Sichbe. On the other hand, if a coal is taken off the fire to be used for the mitzvah of burning of Ketores, for the menorah, if it's used for a mitzvah, so that's no longer considered Eish HaMizbeach. That is now considered it has a new status. It's considered basically, if you will, I'm borrowing a phrase, panim chadashos. It's a new entity. And so therefore, it's not Eish HaMizbeach, and you're not in violation. Ikedarmi, the Gemara now is going to go through this exchange, slightly variant version, but it's, you know, it's basically going to be the same point. So, de'achte a'ara v'kavya de'kolam lo pligi de'pater. Here, in the second version, if I take the coals off the Mizbeach, and it's extinguished while off the Mizbeach. So then both Abaye and Rava are going to tell you that it is, that's not a violation of the Torah. You're going to be pater. Meaning we're not condoning it, just simply that you're not going to be subject and liable to the Isser of the Torah of Lo Sichbeh. Keep ligi de kavya barosh Hashem Mizbeach. So Abaye Amar Chayev, Eish Mizbeachu, Rava Amar Pater, came in the Natka Natka. And Abaye says you're going to be Chayev because You extinguish a coal on the top of the Mizbech, and therefore you're going to be chayev. Rava, on the other hand, says, no, if you picked the coal up to take it off the Mizbech, so that's netika. That means that now you have basically cut it off from the from the Mizbech, it no longer has the status of being Esha Mizbech. So, Ela Adam Rav Nachman Ama Rava Bar Avua. So the Gemara says, okay, but consider now, what about the statement of Rav Nachman? In the name of Rava Bar Avua, Mori Gachal Me Agabe Mizbech Vekava Chayev. He says, if I take a coal off the Mizbech and I extinguish it, you're going to be Chayev. So come on, Loka Abai Veloka Rava. So now, in this second version of the machlokes between Abai and Rava, where they both agree that once a coal is taken off the Mizbeach and you extinguish it, you're gonna be putter. And meanwhile, Rav Nachman says you're gonna be chayev. So now Rav Nachman he's not even holding like Abai. He's holding like nobody, not like Abai, not like Rava. So the Gemara says no. Hasam lo intek lemitzvasa, hacha intek lemitzvasa. So the Gemara says no. Again, it's a similar approach. Abai and Rava were talking about taking a coal off to do a mitzvah, i.e., to burn on the Mizbeach apnimi, or to bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They're talking about doing a mitzvah. So there, once the coal is lifted, so that is experienced, that's netika. Not only netika, but netika la mitzvasa. And under those circumstances, now you're going to be, it no longer has the qualification of being ish hamizbeach, and therefore you're going to be potter. What Rav Nachman was talking about simply was, you took it off the mizbeach, but for no purpose, meaning not for a mitzvah. So if you took it off the Mizbeach for no purpose, not for a mitzvah, it will still retain the status of being Eish HaMizbeach, and therefore extinguishing would be a violation of Eish HaMizbeach Lo Sichba. Good. Adkan Hadronach Tarf Bekalpi. That is the end of the fourth parak of the Masechta. Let's quickly recap and review today's daf. We went and discussed yesterday's daf, specifically the sheet of Rav Meir, in slightly more detail. Rav Meir says that there are five pyres in total on Yom Kippur. If it's not Yom Kippur, there are going to be four pyres on the Mizbech. The fourth pyre is there to burn yesterday's limbs. This idea of Rav Meir, so the Gemara expounded on that in the first half of today's daf. The sheet of Bar Kapara is that this sheet of Rav Meir, that there's a fourth pyre to burn yesterday's limbs. So he made two statements. Number one is that you can burn yesterday's limbs on this fourth pyre. And number two, even if it's Shabbos, meaning you could take Friday's limbs that for whatever reason weren't burnt on Friday, and you can burn them on Shabbos. Statement number one of Bar Kapara, the Gemara says, I don't understand. There doesn't seem to be any chiddush over that which we learned yesterday. The Gemara said, yeah, actually there is, because not only are you allowed to burn the limbs from yesterday, but even if they're pusil, you can burn the limbs from yesterday. Good. In terms of statement number two, afil b'Shabbos, so that became a springboard for most of today's discussion in the daf. You could take Friday's limbs and burn them on Shabbos, meaning I know for sure that you could take Shabbos's carbon and violate Shabbos with that carbon, but to take leftovers of Friday's carbon and burn them on the Mizbeach on Shabbos, so that's a chiddush. The Gemara says, good, that's a chiddush. Bar Kapar subscribed to that chiddush, and the way Rashi presents today's Gemara, Rava subscribes to that chiddush as well. Good. On the other side of that, you have Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, no, I don't subscribe to that chiddush. You could take Friday's leftover karbanos and burn them on the Mizbech on Shabbos. Rav Huna says, no, eino doche. It doesn't override. But as we came to learn in the course of today's daf, Rav Huna, who says, eino doche, so it happens to be a machlokus between the Amoraim, between Rabba and Rav Chista. What did Rav Huna mean when he said eino doche? The two positions are either going to be Rav Chista, which is that you could take Friday's karbanos and burn them on Shabbos, but you can't burn limbs of a carbon that was brought in a state of tumah. Meaning Shabbos is docha, but tumah is not docha. And Rabba, on the other hand, not Rava, but Rabba, on the other hand, says no, flip it. You can burn the tumah you could take the limbs of a carbon that was brought in tumah, but it can't override the Shabbos. Good. So that was Rav, and that was Rav Chista. And the Gemara wanted to know how are they not tied together? How could it possibly be that we're going to make a split decision between Shabbos and tumah? The Gemara gave svaras for both directions, right? And that was taking us to the Amud Beis. And just quickly to go over this, it's a short daf, so we hear in the review, we could do just a little bit more detail. So quickly to review how you can argue in two directions. So one, you could say that Shabbos doesn't override. Since Friday's karbanos can't be offered on Shabbos, because when Shabbos comes, it's no longer Friday. Since Friday's karbanos cannot be offered on Shabbos, so therefore the burning of the limbs cannot be done on Shabbos. As opposed to tumah, where tumah, obviously since the beginning overrides tumah, the end overrides tumah as well. That's one argument. You can also argue in the other direction. How are you going to argue in the other direction? Because when it comes to Tumah, Tumah is dechuya. The Torah gives an allowance, but begrudgingly. So the parts of the carbon that are essential that provide kapara, the shechting and the sprinkling, so that's going to override Tumah. But the burning of the limbs, which is not there for kapara, that's not going to override Tumah. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Shabbos is hutra b'tzibur. Since Shabbos is hutra b'tzibur, so then you have a total allowance to not only shecht the, well, you have a total allowance not only to shecht, but even to burn the limbs on Shabbos. Good. So that's how you can make a distinction between either between Shabbos being Shabbos being more chamor or Tumah being more chamor. And finally, our last discussion of today, ending the fourth parak of Yuma, is a machlokas between Abai and Rava. A coal is taken off the mizbech, a coal on the mizbech, extinguishing it in Isser of the Torah. Taking a coal off the mizbech and burning it. So a machlokas between Abai and Rava. Two versions of that machlokas between Abai and Rava. But basically, either version. Abai comes out to be more of a machmir, Rava comes out to be more of a mekel. What's the svara behind Rava? So the basic svara, according to version one and version number two, is that if the coal is taken off the mizbeach for a purpose, i.e. you're using it to burn your ketores, you're using it for the lighting of the menorah, if you're taking it off the mizbeach for a purpose now, let's give it a better name, let's call it a mitzvah. So under those circumstances, it's no longer considered Eish HaMizbech. It leaves the status of being Eish HaMizbech, therefore no longer subject to the Isser of Lo Sichbeh.